Well, good morning once again. Welcome to Blacksburg Christian Fellowship from me. So glad you're with us this morning. We're back in our sermon series in Ephesians. After a break last week, the Norns were here. It was a delight to have Daniel preach for us from Acts 14. But we're back in Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to be focused on verse 29. Just one verse this morning, but I'm going to read verses 25 through 32. We'll pray and we'll dive in. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one in front of you somewhere underneath one of the seats, and you can open up and look. I think it's on page 978 or 979. Ephesians chapter 4. These are verses 25 through 32. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Father, we need your help this morning. I need your help this morning, and we pray that you would open our ears, soften our hearts to receive your word, and that you would change us by the power of your Spirit so that we would obey your word and that we would live according to your word and help maintain the unity that you've provided us in Christ. We pray this in his name. Amen. Well, if you remember in Ephesians, we've been talking about putting off the old self, who we were before we trusted in Jesus, and then putting on the new self as people who have been born again in Jesus. That we've been born again by grace, an undeserved gift, through faith, our trust in Jesus' death on the cross for our sins. And because of that, we have been saved and we've been born again, made brand new. We have a new self to live in. And the last few weeks here, verses 25 through 28, we've talked about what it looks like to walk as Christians in the new self. How to leave the old behind and walk in the new. And I wonder, how are you doing at changing? Is the change going well? Some of us struggled with lying. Have you been putting away lying and speaking the truth instead? Have you been not sinning in your anger? Have you stopped stealing and instead started to work hard so that you could give to those in need? Those are the three changes that we've talked about, and they're difficult to make. Change is hard to make, isn't it? It's very difficult to make. You can do it outwardly for a time, but real change comes at a deep heart level. And this morning, when we deal with our talk or our speech, is no different. It's about the heart. I was reminded as we get into this, Luke 6:45, of what Jesus said. Jesus said, "The good person, out of the good treasure of his heart, produces good. And the evil person, out of his evil treasure, produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." So you can wash your mouth out with soap all you want. I don't think that happens anymore, probably. Maybe it does, I don't know. But the real change comes within the heart. So even as we talk about leaving the old behind and putting on the new and walking in obedience, we have to remember that we need heart change, and it's only possible if we're in Christ. And then if we're in Christ, we know that God gives us power through his Holy Spirit, and that's the good news, is that change is actually possible. We can actually stop lying and tell the truth. We can actually not sin in anger. We can stop stealing in various ways and work hard and give generously. We need to obey God's word, but we have the good news that we can through the Holy Spirit's power. As we ask God to fill us and empower us, we can live out what he tells us to do here in the scriptures. And so this morning in verse 29, we have another change to look at in our lives today, and it's how we speak. But remember, the context of all of this, verses 25 through 32 here, is not just about my own personal holiness or being righteous in my walk with God. Oh, that's true. The context is about us living together as the body of Christ and the kinds of behaviors and patterns that can cause us to be not unified practically. And so Paul is saying, yes, live this way, but it's really about so that we as a people will not see the unity we have in Christ broken apart by these various kinds of sins. And if you notice, there's a pattern in this. Each of these has a don't do this, do this instead, and here's why, or the motivation behind. And this morning is no different. So we won't get creative with what the Apostle Paul said. He gives us three points here. First, don't have corrupt talk. Don't talk corruptly. Second, he'll say, have a good talk that builds up. So no corrupt talk, have good talk. And finally, why? So that others may receive grace, that we could give grace to others. But first here, Paul says in verse 29, look again, let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths. Other versions of the Bible translate that as no unwholesome talk or no foul or abusive language. It's the idea of something that is rotten, that it causes harm and damage, this corrupt. It causes harm or damage to a fellow brother or sister in Christ. I mean, it's like when you've had a really good meal and you are longing for the leftovers, and you forget for a few days, and then you go and open up the Tupperware, and there's this green, white substance all over, and you go, well, now I can't eat any of this. Or you go to the store, and you get a whole bunch of fresh fruit or whatever, and then it sits around for a few days, and you open up the container, and you're hit with the stench of rottenness. That's the idea that corrupt talk, it rots out other people. It rots out our unity. And so Paul is saying, don't have any corrupt talk. I mean, you can probably remember in your own life, sometime when somebody said something very harsh, painful, vindictive, mean, whatever it may be, somebody communicated something to you so painful that you even play it in your mind. You probably can even verbatim say exactly what that person said. You can remember what you were wearing, where you were when it happened. Words have that kind of power to infect us, to harm us. And so Paul says, if we're to maintain our unity, if we're to be who we are in Jesus, we can't have any corrupt or unwholesome or rotten word come out of our mouths. We can't have that. So what is that? What are examples of unwholesome talk or corrupt talk? Well, a couple weeks ago, Dan talked about stealing. He had 10 examples. I only have 9. So I didn't want to steal. No, that was terrible. I apologize. I shouldn't have done that. That was bad. But I thought of 9 different ways that we could potentially have corrupt talk. I think the first is, we already dealt with it in verse 25, it's just straight up lying. It's just lying, and we already dealt with that. We already heard, don't lie, tell the truth. Another example is foul language or curse words. Paul says it this way in Colossians chapter 3, verse 8, but now you must put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Now, what counts as a bad word? We can't give examples here, right? That wouldn't work. But we live in this culture. You go to a different country, there's certain words that are unacceptable there. And so they are meant to tear down. They're meant to cause emotional reaction in some way. But ultimately, they can hurt people. And so we're not to have corrupt talk, no foul language. here. Along with that, another example is vulgar language. Later in Ephesians chapter 5, we'll read the verse, chapter 5, verse 4, let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking. This could be the kind of language that's inappropriately sexual or even violent in some nature, that it just can demean certain types of people. And it's very popular in the world to have this kind of language, isn't it? Our family just went to a family-type movie, and one of the previews was filled with foul language and vulgar language. Now, we found out later that it was a whoopsie from the theater. That preview was not supposed to be shown for that family movie. But the fact that that preview could be shown for any movie is evidence that it's normal in our culture to be vulgar, to grab attention, to downgrade people. And Paul says none of that can be a part of the body of Christ. Another example is sarcasm. This one's hard for me. Sarcasm is biting. It's cruel in its intent. Now, yes, there are some that thrive off of sarcasm to one another, that it doesn't tear down. It's in this weird way. It builds each other up. It's a strange thing. It's a guy thing mostly, but sometimes that happens, right? And we'll deal with as fits the occasion here in a little bit. But generally, I do believe that sarcasm is very dangerous, because it can communicate something to others that you didn't mean to communicate, that you had a certain intent, an attempt at humor or to wake somebody up, but they didn't hear it. They don't understand it. And instead of laughing or catching on, they get hurt or they get torn down in some way. I think sarcasm falls into this category. We have to be very careful. We have to be very careful. I remember being called out in my late teenage, early adult years on this, that people would say, Jeff, I don't know what you're saying. Is it true or not true? Are you laughing or joking? Or are you telling what's going on? I can't understand what you're saying because I would be so sarcastic. And I thought, that's just hurting people. It's not helping anyone. But I think sarcasm falls into that. Gossip falls into that. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19 in the New Living Translation says, a gossip goes around telling secrets, so don't hang around with chatterers or with someone who talks too much. A gossip goes around telling secrets. It's talking about someone instead of talking to someone. It removes our trust. It removes our trust. And at the center, it is really about making someone else not look very good. It tears down other people. And it's easy to do, isn't it? Did you hear about so-and-so? Did you hear what they said? It's very easy to do that. And along with that, it tempts other people to spread the gossip and keep the negative going. Gossip can fit into this category of corrupt talk. Would I say it to their face? Probably not. And so I probably shouldn't say it at all. A false witness, another example, false witness or false accusations. This comes from Exodus chapter 20, one of the Ten Commandments. Commandment number 9, Exodus 20, verse 16. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. This is a close cousin to lying and gossip, but it's saying something is true or false about someone else when you know the opposite is really true. Purposely trying to create a false witness about someone else instead of being honest and truthful. It's corrupt. It tears down. Grumbling or complaining. It's so easy to do, isn't it? Life can be so hard and challenging at times. It can feel so good and cathartic just to grumble. Funny, last night we were talking at dinner and I said this is one of the examples that we really shouldn't grumble or complain. And Lisa goes, oh man. It's really funny. But it's so true, right? It's just so easy to grumble about things. Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, do all things without grumbling or disputing. Now, there's a place for sharing about hard things. There's a place for that, that we share what's difficult in our lives with one another, that we engage in that and we help each other. But I think grumbling and complaining, at some level, it really is saying that God is not good to me. That I deserve something better and He's not providing what I should have. And it not only defames God, but it starts to tear down. This happened to the people of Israel. God said in Numbers 14, verse 27, "How long shall this wicked congregation grumble against me? I have heard the grumblings of the people of Israel, which they grumble against me." Grumbling or complaining really is against the Lord, but it affects and infects us as the body of Christ. Two more. One, flattery. Just being overly kind, exaggerating even to somebody else because you want to get in good graces with them. It's a form of lying, a deception, but I think flattery can do that. Proverbs 26, 28. "A lying tongue hates its victims, and a flattering mouth works ruin." A flattering mouth works ruin. It's part of corrupt talk. And finally, misusing the name of the Lord. The third commandment: "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." So that is obviously using the Lord's name as a curse word in some way, as an emphatic use to have a negative thought or to catch attention from other people. But I think it could also be misusing the Lord's name, saying he told you to do something when it goes against the scriptures, or you blame him for your own actions instead of it's your sin. So for lunch discussion, you can talk about what other kinds of corrupt talk are there? What other examples can you think of in your life? But here's the common thread of all corrupt talk. All of it is self-focused, self-centered. It's selfish. It stems from the old self. In verse 22 of chapter 4, Paul says, "The old self was corrupt through deceitful desires." So any form of corrupt speech is focused on me, myself, and I. It's to further my image. It's to enhance my popularity. It's to further my agenda. It's to boost my own sense of self-worth and value over others. And in the process of trying to build myself, I tend to tear down others. I mean, why do I tend towards sarcasm? Because I want people to think I'm funny and intelligent and witty. We tend to gossip because we want to make ourselves feel better and look better than other people. I complain because I think I deserve better. I might take the Lord's name in vain because I don't take seriously who God is. Paul says, "Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth." A great question to ask before we speak is, will what I am about to say build this person up or in some way tear them down? Will it build them up or will it tear them down? Which is what Paul gets into next. We shouldn't have corrupt talk because it tears down. Instead, the next part of verse 29, "but only such that is good for building up as fits the occasion." Paul says it this way in Colossians 4, verse 8. "Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." Always be gracious, seasoned with salt. I heard it said that some people, their speech is always salty and never seasoned with grace. It's the opposite of what we should be. Always be gracious, seasoned with salt. This is the new self in verse 24 that is created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. We are the family of God and we are created after His likeness, in His image and in His likeness as the body of Christ. And so we are like our Heavenly Father in this way, and how we speak to one another shows that we are His. In how we speak to build each other up, to encourage one another, to spur one another on, to point out to each other the goodness of God and the glory of the gospel and the power that he provides that we can change. And yes, even to notice sin in our lives so that we can repent from it. All of that kind of talk is to build someone up. And notice here, Paul doesn't leave wiggle room, does he? No corrupt talk, only such as is good for building up. I want to rationalize. I want to immediately find loopholes. But Paul says only such as good for building up. Everything we say should have as its goal to build up a brother or sister in Christ, to encourage them in their walk with Christ. And yes, sometimes that means we have to say hard things, point out sin or brokenness in someone's life, but it is always for their good. So again, ask the question, is what I'm about to say going to build this person up or tear them down? Am I trying to help them flee from sin, untangle from the world, resist the devil, and cling to Jesus and grow in maturity? There's plenty of practical ways you could do this. You could think of these. The Holy Spirit will help you think of these. But it's easy just when you notice somebody serving the Lord faithfully, tell them, hey, I saw you setting up the chairs before that class. Hey, I saw you setting up the coffee and putting out the donuts. Hey, I saw you standing at the door looking over us, taking care of us. Hey, I noticed how hard you work teaching our children in class. And I just want to say thank you. We find ways to speak life into other people. Maybe it's seeing someone and asking them what the Lord has been teaching them. Yes, we could still talk about the weather and sports and things like that, but getting into what life is really about. What's God been teaching you and sharing scripture that God's given to you? You know, if the Lord brings someone to your mind, pray for them immediately and then text them right away. We don't make phone calls anymore, right? You text them. You text them or you call them and you say, hey, just wanted you to know the Lord brought you to mind and I prayed for you. Do you have any other prayer requests? What an encouragement that would be to say that to somebody. Again, over lunch, what other kinds of examples of good talk that builds up can you think of? This takes work, doesn't it? It's hard because it means I need to stop thinking about me and I need to think about other people. And then I need to have wisdom for what fits the occasion. Did you notice that? Paul says, good for building up as fits the occasion, which means we need to understand what the right thing to say or to not say is in certain moments with those involved. What you are about to say may be the truth, but is it the right time and place to speak it, or does it need to wait for another moment? We're not trying to shy away from what's right and what's true, but we need to know what is fitting the occasion. It's reading the room. It's paying attention to what's going on with people, using words that they'll understand and they'll be able to apply to their life. I mean, you've been in situations where people say things that may be right, but they don't help you at all. Imagine if you're not a financial person and you go meet with a financial planner and they start throwing out words like compounding interest and annuities. And you go, what are you talking about? This doesn't help me. It's all true, but I don't know what it is. They need to dumb it down for me. They need to help me understand, what are you actually talking about? We fit the occasion. We contextualize our words, and we do that with each other. We need to explain concepts to people and help them understand what's going on, what we notice, what we see, ways we want to encourage, the ways they're struggling. How do we say something to them in that, or do we in the moment? We really are a diverse group of people, so we need to figure out what fits the occasion with each other as we speak to each other. And I think the biggest part of this is learning to listen really well. It's learning to listen really well. Proverbs 18, verse 13. If one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. And James says it this way in 1 verse 19. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. If we want to have good talk that builds up as fits the occasion, then we need to learn to listen well. We need to pause and make sure we understand what's going on, what the person has said, and what they need in the moment. Otherwise, we may end up hurting more than helping. So Paul says, take off the old, put on the new. The new is good speech. It's in the likeness of God in holiness and righteousness. Talk that builds up the body of Christ. And then he finishes here at the end, that it may give grace to those who hear. Isn't this incredible? That the words we speak, the manner in which we talk to one another, has the ability to give grace to fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. But we have to figure out, what does it actually mean to give grace to those in the body of Christ? Grace is most often in the Bible used as this undeserved gift of our salvation. We didn't deserve to be forgiven of our sins. We deserved God's wrath, but in His grace, He gave us forgiveness and gave us eternal life. And that is true in the Scriptures, but grace also has this idea of God's grace given to us to empower us to live the Christian life, to fulfill what is required of us in the Scriptures. I mean, if you go just back to chapter 4, verse 7, when we learned about the spiritual gifts we've been given, Paul writes, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. That means we've been gifted by God's grace, and His grace is poured out to use these gifts to fulfill the work of ministry that He's given us, to enable us to do that ministry. It's God's grace. So I think what Paul is saying here is that as we have good talk that builds each other up, then we each, in that moment when we have that given to us, we're actually given grace for three things. One, to just keep walking with Christ. To keep walking with Him, that He's good enough. He's using someone else to encourage me to keep going. Second, it helps us keep enduring through the difficulties. Whatever we may be suffering, whatever trials we may be facing, when someone builds me up through speech, it helps me to endure to the end. And finally, it helps me to fulfill the ministry that God has gifted me for. When people notice, when people encourage, when people speak life to us, say, way to go, I noticed this, you're doing great, it's amazing what you're doing, then we can keep going and do the work of ministry God has given each of us. Our speech matters a great deal. It can tear down, but it can also build up. Really, in the end, I think this is a choice to imitate Jesus. Listen to what Luke records about Jesus in chapter 4, verse 22 of the Gospel of Luke. And all spoke well of Him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming out of His mouth. All marveled at Him, at the gracious words that were coming out of Jesus' mouth. What does that gracious word mean? It's defined as a winning quality or attractiveness that invites a favorable reaction. It's kindness, it's winsomeness. When Jesus spoke, people were amazed at His gracious words. See, everywhere that Jesus went, He brought life. It doesn't mean everybody believed Him or followed Him, but He was always trying to bring people life, to lead them to repentance, to obey the commands of God. And His words were gracious, even at times if they were received as being harsh, they were true. And He always did it in the right occasion, in the right way. So Jesus is our model. He is our model of how do we speak well, how do we speak blessing and encouragement to others. We follow Jesus in that. It's because of him that we can follow in his footsteps, but it's because of his work on the cross that we actually are able to see the change in our heart, to remember that it's not just about changing the words that I say, but Jesus can change my heart. So that out of the abundance of my heart, the words will come forth that bring blessing and honor and encouragement and building up. And this is done through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's by the power of the Spirit that we can speak the truth instead of lies, that we cannot sin in our anger, and that we can work hard to give generously instead of stealing, and that we can speak words that build up instead of tear down. And now imagine what kind of church we would be if we obeyed these commandments. Imagine what it would be like to be here, to be amongst one another, where everything we're saying to each other is to build up. Would not there be such joy in this place? And I think the world would notice. It would notice and desperately desire for people like that in their own life. And then maybe they would find it here in Christ and in us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the joy of our salvation. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that allows us to experience change. We need you and your Spirit to change us, Father. So we ask that you do that now, and that you would have us to never once say anything that is corrupt or unwholesome, but that we would only speak what is good for the building up of one another. And through that, would you pour out your grace to us to help us keep walking with you, to endure to the end, and to experience the joy of being in the family of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.